On today's episode of the Locked On Nets podcast, Josh Basco solo to talk about the Nets' heartbreaking loss to the Miami Heat and what Spencer Dinwiddie's role will be upon Kyrie Irving's return. All that and more coming up on Locked On Nets.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Nets podcast. I am your host, Josh Bass. Going solo today, we forgot to mention this on the last podcast, but my esteemed co-host, Marcus Barahal, is in Europe right now. He's either in Amsterdam or Vienna. I can't really keep up with this guy, but he made the pilgrimage to Europe yesterday for a little vacation, much deserved on Marcus's part. Him and I were out celebrating a couple things over the weekend. One, his birthday, but mainly it was the Nets victory over the Boston Celtics. Went, did some karaokeing, had dinner, a good time was had by all. Him and I were really jamming out along with, unfortunately, Locked On Knicks co-host Gavin Shaw had to be there, and then a bunch of our other friends. But unfortunately, not as good news to talk about today. The Nets had a heartbreaking loss yesterday to the Miami Heat. Really good game. One of the better played games this year, I thought, even though it got a little sloppy at times, especially in the third quarter. And there were parts, not going to lie, that I wanted to gouge my eyes out because of just the poor turnovers and sloppy play. Overall, very competitive against a really good Eastern Conference opponent. The Nets couldn't get the win. Spencer Dinwiddie had an excellent game, but unfortunately, missed a layup late. I can't call it a layup even because it would have been a tough shot, more so a floater, which soft touch but rimmed out. And then on the last play of the game, Nets down by three. Dinwiddie had the ball with about 10 seconds left, dribbled it up court, and probably went a little bit too slowly and was forced into a contested deep three, which was not close. So the Nets lost this one. Heroic performance from Jimmy Butler, who really was pretty quiet for most of the game, didn't do much, and then all of a sudden just came out. And, you know, we know that he is such a Nets killer, even going back to his days with the Bulls where he hit a game-winning fadeaway jumper over Bojan Bogdanović. Obviously, once he got traded to Philly last year, all of the heroics that he had, including that game where the Sixers came back from 20 in the either third or fourth quarter to beat the Nets, and he hit another buzzer beater. He was just getting to the line at will, and unfortunately the Nets didn't have anyone from a physicality standpoint that can match up with him. And really, the difference in this game was that Miami had that awesome closer in Jimmy Butler, and the Nets didn't. And Spencer Dinwiddie, I think, is a great proxy of that guy, but he's not that guy. Kyrie Irving's that guy, so it's unfair to force Spencer Dinwiddie into that kind of role. He's obviously been very successful at it in points in his career and done an absolutely phenomenal job in this stretch with Kyrie out. And also last year, I mean, so many clutch performances, thinking about the shot against the Pistons, what he did against Houston in that Nets comeback win. So he's definitely shown that he can do that before, but ultimately he's not as consistent as a top 15 star level player like a Kyrie Irving. And the Nets could definitely have used that guy because, you know, Dinwiddie was doing it all. Joe Harris had an excellent game, but they just don't have the horses to compete with these good Eastern Conference teams on a night-to-night basis without Kyrie. And we've mentioned this time and time again. And we'll get into a little bit more about what Dinwiddie's role could be once Kyrie is back. And I think Malika Andrews had a really nice piece on this for ESPN. But let's recap the game a little bit more. Of course, before we get into this, subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, Stitcher, you name it, we will be there. Rate us, review us. We'd love to hear your feedback. So this game, I mean, the Nets, it was very competitive. I think DeAndre Jordan did a really good job. He was someone that stood out to me as kind of a stabilizing presence. You know, he struggled a bit in the second quarter. Chris Silva, the kid out of South Carolina, came in and had a really nice, energizing performance for Miami. Had three offensive rebounds, and there were another at least player two where he was able to force the ball out in the nets or draw a loose ball foul. His activity level was a really positive presence for Miami. DeAndre had a tough job keeping him off the boards, but when DeAndre was matched up against Bam Adebayo, I thought he did a great job. He was really stifling Bam offensively, even though Adebayo did end up with a nice game. When you look at his kind of counting stats, 17-16, he wasn't that efficient. And DeAndre had some really nice finishes inside. One play where he caught the ball after a really tough catch, basically behind the basket, muscled his way in once, didn't work, muscled in again, and then was able to throw up a layup that went in. And he had also had a nice, really nice power dunk, pushing someone out of the way. He's looked good physically, and I think his performance was a really nice stabilizer for the Nets because they needed that third scorer to go alongside Dinwiddie, who was obviously excellent with 29 points, and Joe Harris, who had a stellar game. And I mean, I can't say enough about this guy. His improvement is just constantly mind-blowing to me. He had another stellar game, scoring 25 points, 5 of 9 from 3. But also, I mean, these layups that he's hitting are really tough. He's just so good at, one, going reverse to shield, use the backboard as a shield from his defender. But also, he's just so strong. And you think he just doesn't really have a lane, but he feels like he has the smallest crease and goes for it. And his touch on these shots is incredible. So it went 4 of 7 on two-pointers, which... It sounds like it's not, it sounds like a great percentage, but it sounds like it's not a lot. But against a excellent defensive team in Miami that has a lot of length, has a lot of athleticism, and really gets into it with Eric Spoelstra as the coach, that's a really excellent statistic. And, you know, he's been so good this year because obviously his three-point percentage, 47% last year, was probably going to be unsustainable. 44% is just excellent. And also doing it on a higher number of attempts, 6.5 attempts per game this year from three. And it's not just the wide open catch and shoot jumpers. He's diversified his game a bit more this year, running off screens a lot more than last year, taking more off balance looks, and his percentages haven't really dipped. And from a 2-point standpoint, he's been awesome as well, 54% from the year on 2-pointers. And he's just so strong and such a smart player. He knows when he should get a shot off, when he shouldn't. And I think that's the kind of play that I'd like to see more from. A guy like Torian Prince, even, so he can really learn from Joe. Even though he has more raw tools, he doesn't always use them to the fullest degree. So he did an excellent job keeping the Nets in this game and giving them a consistent offensive force. Also, Nwaba. I mean, this guy was unreal. A lot of people on Twitter have been clamoring for him to play more. I think he can be a really useful tool and have said so. So it was great to see him get a chance, played 18 minutes, and he made the absolute most of it. Had two really strong drives, one on the baseline off an attack there, and the other on a kind of a loose pick and roll, where he drove the ball hard and made the layup and the finish. And those are the kind of plays, listen, it's not spectacular by any means, but I don't have any confidence that any of the other bench ball handlers, wings in Shumpert, Jean and Musa, or Pinson can execute that play. And when you're talking about close games, those small plays were a guy on the bench can come in and give you a little pop and kind of take the pressure off some of these other creators for the Nets, like a Dinwiddie and a Joe Harris. Those are the plays that really matter. And I think Nwaba is someone that, yes, he could have gotten cut when Wilson Chandler comes back. I think he plays a really interesting role in this team, and especially from a defensive standpoint. You know, he really gets up into it. He can sometimes commit silly fouls, but ultimately his effort and his athleticism, I think, can be a really good help for the Nets on their second unit. So I'd actually like to see him, one, stay on this team, two, play more, because I think once Kyrie comes back and you have Kyrie and Dinwiddie, two dynamic creators, and one of those guys on the floor at all times, I think a guy like Nwaba with his cutting ability also can really play off well with them. He had another nice play where he had a great spin move and finish. I mean, he was just all over the place last night. Hit a three ball, and he closed out the game for the Nets. So it's great to see. You know, Kenny's always someone that he wants to go with his guys, but also if someone gets in the rotation, he gives them a chance and proves it and plays well, he's going to stick with the hot hand. So that's something I've always liked from Kenny. It's very, very kind of a meritocracy with his rotations. If you're playing well, you're going to continue getting minutes. If not, you'll be in the doghouse, like Rudy Kurucs his experience, maybe a bit undeservedly so on that front, but I digress there. So overall, I mean, listen, am I disappointed that the Nets couldn't pull this one out and ended up losing this game when, you know, it looked like they had this in the bag, given that they had a pretty nice lead? I think it was 7 points with about a minute 45 or so left. It was 8 points with 4.5 minutes left, and then 7 points with minute 45 left after Joe Harris hit that three. So you kind of have to win those games, but ultimately it was a really good effort. So even though the Heat start guys like Myers Leonard, Duncan Robinson, Kendrick Nunn, you can't let the pedigree of those players fool you. This is an extremely well-coached and deep team. And especially when you have guys like Goran Dragic coming off the bench, someone that can has played at an all-star level in this league before and can get hot lightning quickly like he did in this game, they're going to be a tough out. So overall, encouraging performance. The Nets are now at 10-10. And given this stretch that Kyrie's missed these last 9 games, you have to be really happy with where they are right now. Comfortably in the 7th seed in the East. I think that their floor, as Spencer Dinwiddie mentioned in a post-game press conference, has been raised with this stretch. And his play in particular, given that he's at 24 points and 7 assists a game, while also limiting turnovers in his last 10, he's playing like an all-star right now. And when you look at where his role is going to be upon Kyrie Irving's return, it's interesting. It's definitely interesting because he's someone who has been the absolute leader for this team over the past couple seasons and definitely this year. And who knows when Kyrie exactly will return, I think, especially for a player like him, who's definitely a bit more on the mercurial side. You never really know. He started on-court work, but he hasn't started contact work yet. As of this time, he hasn't been ruled out officially for the game against Atlanta on Wednesday. I don't think he's going to play then. I think if he's not back by the following Wednesday, December 11th at Charlotte, that's when my eyebrows are really going to be raised, because we just haven't gotten the clarity on this injury that we need right now. And if he misses all 4 of those games, all of a sudden he's up to 13 games. Who knows when he's going to be coming back after that? I think that's a reasonable assumption for him to come back. And when he does, I would initially be interested in seeing Dinwiddie and Kyrie sharing the starting lineup. And obviously, Kenny will stagger their minutes, so we don't have to see any more Jana Musa and Theo Pinson anymore. But I would move Garrett Temple back to a bench role, stagger them, so you have at least get to see what they look like playing together in more frequent minutes. Because, you know, this year is always going to be about an experimental year for the Nets, trying things out, what works, what doesn't. And it's basically saying, hey, Spencer Dinwiddie, you are an excellent player when you're kind of the top guy or really running the show in your unit, but can you play off Kyrie Irving well? Can he play off you well? I think the answer to that is going to be yes, because especially as Spencer has been on his run, so many more teams, and we saw Miami do this a lot, and Boston as well the game before, trapping Dinwiddie, making him get the ball out of his hands, and initiating a 4-on-3 for the Nets. But when you have 4 players who might not be the most talented offensively, that can be a win for the defense. When you have Kyrie Irving as one of those 4, that's when it's going to be lights out for the other team. So I think they can play really well together on that front. And if Kyrie's out there, teams are not going to be as amenable to doubling Dinwiddie out high. Gives him more one-on-one matchups and the ability to exploit the defense, get into the lane. So I think from a fit standpoint, they can play really well together, because Dinwiddie is also an excellent spot-up shooter. That's when he's at his best. His off-the-dribble step-back 3 game can get a little wild at times, but from the corners and spotting up, he's always been lights out. So I think if you're Kenny, you have to say, hey, let's start these guys, at least see what happens. And on the bench, what I'd like to see is DeAndre. Obviously, he's going to be the backup center. Temple and Nwaba primarily being those backup wins. You know, if Kyrie comes back and you're playing him 32-ish minutes a game, you should be able to fully eradicate the minutes of Musa and Pinson, who, you know, just aren't NBA caliber players at this point. No bones about it. Musa is 20 years old, may have some potential, but he needs a lot more seasoning in the G League, improving his spot-up shooting, which has been absolutely abysmal. Pinson, I love the guy. He's a great player for morale and everything he does, his dancing. It's great to see, but at 24 years old and given this level of play and his historical pedigree, I just don't think he's someone that you need to invest in further. If I wouldn't want him on the team any further, especially if there's other players that I think can come out there and help them a bit more. I get what he does for the culture, but overall, this is a basketball team, and I just don't think Theo Pinson is adding much on the court as we've seen these last few games. So you'll have Temple and Nwaba as kind of those backup wings, and you know, probably Kenny will want to throw in a ninth player there, given that he likes to play a lot of guys. And we'll see who that could be. Maybe Shumpert still gets some minutes, 10 to 15 a night. I think as far as he goes, I like what he's added, but also he's definitely hasn't been shy to throw up shots. Maybe that's because he's sensing they need that, given that they just don't have a ton of creators on that second unit. So maybe once, if he's playing alongside either Kyrie or Dinwiddie at all times, he's more so someone that wants to keep the ball moving and tries to ISO less. So it's worth experimenting what they could see from him. Maybe they want to try Claxton more. But I think you have a really good core eight guys with Kyrie coming back and then saying, hey, Theo and Jana, thanks for filling in. But that was enough for now. But who knows? You know, Kyrie could come back Atlanta and this will be the time to experiment things. Or he could miss another five games. And Kenny still has more time to see how things play out. I hope it's the former. Would love to see him competing against Trae Young. But anyway, the Nets should be able to win that game against Atlanta, especially without John Collins. He's the type of big man that could give the Nets problems. But unfortunately for the Hawks, with his suspension, he has been out. I think he's probably still needs to serve maybe five or six games in that suspension. But the Hawks did get a big win tonight over Golden State, just thrashing them by 25, and a really nice performance from Trae Young. He's going to be someone that obviously will be difficult for the Nets to stop. You have to hope Dinwiddie's up to the challenge there. If not, I think Nwaba's physicality could be interesting to try to disrupt him. But overall, you look at the rest of their roster, they're similar to the Nets right now, and they don't really have a ton of other guys that can hurt you. DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish are rookies. Bembry's inconsistent. Jabari Parker's just kind of bad. And then their big men, you have Alex Len, Maryland Terrapin. So obviously, close to my heart. But he's not someone that's going to hurt you. So really, it's kind of their number two guy's Jabari, but he's not going to score super efficiently anyway, given that his three ball has been so bad this year. He's mostly subsisting on kind of mid-range twos and forcing his way to the basket. So they're kind of a couple-man band out there. But even if Kyrie does not return, given the way the Nets are playing, you have to hope that they'll be able to handle Atlanta and get on the right side of 500. But we'll see what happens. We'll be back after that game. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Nets. I am at JMBass_. Did an interview with Josh Lloyd of Locked On NBA the other day. Go check that out. Give Marcus a follow and shoot him a tweet while he's in Europe at Marcus Barahal. He will love to hear from you as he makes his excursion through Europe. Until next time, speak to you soon.